Boker Tov, good morning. Is this a coincidence, or is there an inherent connection? The word emuna and the word omanus or omanut. Emuna meaning our connection to Hashem, and omanut, which is the modern Hebrew word for art. So what do these have to do with each other? Omanus is associated with, what would you say? What's that? Art. Right, art. So what's your association?
With art.
Creativity. Yeah. Creativity.
Beauty.
Visual. Okay, visual. But by the way, yes, but yes and, meaning a musician might not be communicating visually, and it's definitely artwork. Right, so communicating.
A lot of times it's whatever the viewer perceives.
Okay, some of it has to do with perception, and the question is from the perspective of the artist, where is the artist? So let's think about the process for the artist, and then we're going to figure out in the back of our minds what that has to do with Emuna. So let's hold on to that for a second. And let's look here on the page on the right-hand side. We're up to item 2, Beis, Os Beis. So here we have Ravoldi's second of 4 points that he's addressing how to understand the layers of Emuna. So he says, Kamo kol koach mikochos hanefesh. Just like all koach, which means a force, from the kochos hanefesh, from the force of our soul, of our spirit, me'orer gam koach ha'emuna tzirim balev. Emuna fosters within a person, the words literally mean tzirim. What is a tzir in modern Hebrew? Anybody know what a tzir is? That's right, a drawing of the heart. Emuna generates drawings of the heart. What is a drawing of the heart? So I wonder if it's imagination, a dream, a vision for something. He quotes now a section from the Rambam in the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed. The Mor Nevuchim, this is before Miltz. This was the original Guide to the Perplexed, just clarifying. Says on the second line here in Os Beis, Kosev HaRambam, based on this, the Rambam writes, Da Ata HaMa'ayen, you, the inquisitor, you, the person who's studying, Ki Ha'amana, which we call Emuna, Eina Inyan HaNe'amar Befeh. It is not something which is spoken with your mouth. Many of us, I didn't have this growing up, but I suspect people in this room, you started the day with the Pledge of Allegiance when you were younger. Did they have that in school? That was a thing? We didn't do that, but there are others who did that. That's a declaration. That's a amira befeh. That's a statement. The Rambam says that's not what emunah is. Emunah is not a declaration of faith. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik, I believe, Rav Shefka said that Rav Soloveitchik, in their minyan, in Maimonides, did not end davening with Adon Olam or Yigdal. When I grew up in a shtibel. We never said Adon Olam or Yigdal, but apparently Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to it for a different reason. He was opposed to it apparently because, I don't know anything about this because I was never at a church service, and he knew this somehow, but he knew that apparently at the end of certain Christian worship, they make a declaration of faith. And he was worried that Adon Olam and Yigdal are both statements of belief. He was worried that if you say Adon Olam or Yigdal at the end of davening, it sounds a little bit Christian. Because in Christian circles, that's what he, apparently that was, that's the way I remember that Rav Shechter told that. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I think that was the case. But the Rambam is saying is that yes, when we have the little kid get up at the end of davening and they say Adon Olam and Yigdal, that's not really Emunah. Emunah is not something that you read off on a script and you sign off like a credit card application. Either you are or you're not. It's nothing to do with what you say. It's Eino Inyan HaNemar B'peh. It's not something that you say. Aval HaInyan. What's the Inyan of Emunah? HaMitsuyar B'nefesh. It is this image in your soul, in your being, in who you are inside. So says the Rambam, Kishiyaminu bo shehukein kumo sheyitsuyar. There is a relationship, there's a correlation between what we have emuna in and what we imagine. So we imagine this connection to Hashem. We imagine we can visualize in our mind's eye the relationship that we have with Hashem. That is correlated with our emuna. The stronger that we have emuna, the stronger we have this. And I don't think, I'm using the word imagine because I don't have a better English word. Maybe you could think of a better English word of tziur balev. Because imagination, I don't mean it in terms of some kind of hallucination. I mean it in terms of what we dream for ourselves, what we want to see, what we aspire to, what's our vision, our internal moral compass, what's our vision for ourselves. That's what emuna looks like. Emuna is about an inner compass that says, this is where I'm going. This is what I want to see. This is what I believe in. It relates to what he spoke about last time, where last time Rav Volpe spoke about the basic level of emuna is the idea of trust, that there's trust between people, and that there's the idea that universally you'll find that people believe in something. So that belief in something leads you to a vision. You know, I believe in, and then I can see that in my mind's eye, and I'm going to work to that. I believe that, you know, every child should go to sleep, you know, having to have dinner. I believe that that's what should and can be. And then I'm going to imagine, so what is it going to take to make that happen? What does that reality look like to make sure that no children are hungry in the year 2019? So you envision it, you think about it. So what Rav Volpe is saying here from the Rambam is that emuna is about this inner vision. What do we see for ourselves? Kol Masha, now I'm on the third line here in letter B, in Beis. Kol Masha anu marbim litzayer la'atzmenu. All that we can increase for ourselves to view, to draw for ourselves, tziurim, images, ha'amsin lanu, comes from the word emet, that make it true, that verify for us, es ha'torah umidos ha'bori yizbarach, the Torah and the midos of the Borei, mischazek es amunaseinu. The more we picture what God means to us, what the place that we have in the Jewish story is, very good thing to do before Pesach, right? Maybe it's a good exercise for the Seder. The midos of Hashem, how Hashem relates to us, the more that we can think about those things and imagine them in our own mind and have a vision for them, that strengthens our emuna. And l'chor, you could say exactly the opposite also, which is that the more we imagine them, the more we strengthen our emuna, and the more we strengthen our emuna, the more we have the ability to imagine what a world with Hashem looks like. And it's also true on a very practical level, because what this means on a deep level, it's probably very high spiritual accomplishment of meditating on what the Ribbono Shel Olam really means in the world. But it probably means something even on a practical level, on an individual level. And Rav Kook alludes to this in several places, at least I can think right now of in his commentary in the Ein Hayah, the beginning of the Gemara Brachos, where Rav Kook says, you know, that's what davening does for us. Davening helps us focus on a vision for ourselves. This is our opportunity to express what is a tziur b'nefesh, that we want to aspire to these things, but sometimes we forget what we're supposed to aspire to, or we never would have thought on that on our own. So the rabbi says, let us give you a checklist. I'll give you a checklist of 19 things, and these are important siurim b'nefesh that you should develop. You should develop a vision for yourself, a dream. This is your tziur b'nefesh. That's why the word lehispalel is in reflexive. So it means to do something for yourself, and the word palel means to dream, to anticipate, to have a vision for something. Because Yaakov Avinu, when he sees Yosef for the first time in 22 years, he says, Re'o fanecha, my seeing your face, lo filalti. I never dreamed that I would see your face, he says to Yosef. So when we have lehispalel, to have tefillah, means we're dreaming for ourselves. It's really a way of concretizing this tzir b'nefesh. Rav Kook speaks of it on a very spiritual level, but I think it's also on a practical level. What kind of spiritual life do we want to have for ourselves? So we start every day with davening, and that davening helps us calibrate. This is my tzir b'nefesh. That's why in many svarim, emunah and tefillah are hand in hand. They're always associated with each other because emunah is the backbone, it's the basis for having that conversation with Hashem. That conversation on the bakasha level, on the request level, is a reflection of my emunah. I have strong emunah that there is a God, that He wants me to accomplish something, that there is a purpose that my soul is here for. Well, then how is that going to be expressed today? So today it's going to be important. I have to think about somebody who needs health. I need to take care of my health. Why? Because it comes from my emunah. My emunah means I need to worry about the state of the Jewish people. I need to think about what's going on in Israel. That's, a whole chunk, maybe half of the brachos are about national interests. So the emunah of imagining the role of Hashem takes very practical form in tefillah. Tefillah gives you a framework for the emunah. Says Rav Volbi further. Now I'm on the fourth line here. It's line number, what line is it in yours? It's in yours, line 22. Nitan lahagid, we can say, ki tziurim amitiyim, true images of Hashem, hinam hamafteach la'emuna. They are the opening of the door to emuna. And by the way, the opposite is also true. Whatever we imagine of Hashem, which is false, you know what that's the opening to? Idol worship. That's why, Rav Kook writes elsewhere, we're very indebted to atheists. We love atheists. We thank atheists every day. Why? Because atheists poke holes in false images of God. False tziurim. Tziurim that are not amitiyim. So it's good, because atheists keep us honest. They keep us assessing, is our image of Hashem, is our tzior belief authentic? Does it reflect godliness? Or is it some manufactured self-interest that's being projected onto the image of God? You know, the image of God being an angry man with a white beard and a lightning bolt. So you've heard that. Or at least someone has painted some caricature that looks like that to you. So that's, we need to pull out our inner atheist right then and there. And we say, that's not tziurim amitiyim. That's not a proper image of what Hashem Yisbarach is all about. So he says, that's a mafteach la'emuna, as we're going to explain. And now he also explains, now similar to this idea of emuna in false gods, the idea of in a misplaced, inappropriate imagination. He says, "Bitzad haraya du'alanu ki hirhuri avera hainu tziyuri avera kashmi avera." The Gemara says that imagining an avera is worse than doing the avera itself. So why should that be? What's the big deal? I imagined myself stopping at the Burger King. I imagined myself eating it. I imagine myself, I didn't bench afterwards, of course. So then you have all, right? So that's what you imagine. So what's the big deal? But what that does is, Rav Volbi's pointing out, now I can understand, is that it corrupts my imagination. I used to be imagining about something that was valuable, something that was spiritual, something that was meaningful. What am I going to do that's, an aspiration in my life? And now I'm imagining eating ground up horse meat. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, except you kovesh at the throat. So that's a
great. So what's your imagining? What are you imagining? What you're imagining is saying, look, this is my challenge. This is today's challenge because I'm very hungry and I'm driving past this, and in my mind I'm imagining how this hamburger must be very delicious. Is that my whole vision? Or is my vision, look, the Rebbe Shalom put me here for a purpose. And he guides me to eat and to run my life according to the Ratzon of Hashem, to raise myself up spiritually. This pasuk, that's what we talked about last week, about kosher food. Just happens to be last Parsha Shmini. So I say to myself, the Rambam would say, right? The Rambam would say, I should say to myself, that looks so delicious. It really looks delicious. But you know what? I envisioned for myself the kind of person who is able to withstand all kinds of temptations, even one as delicious as this hamburger. And so what I envision for myself is a godly person who doesn't respond to base impulses. That's a vision of Emuna, that the Rebbe Shalom is right here in the car with me, and he looks at me, and I look at him. And we look at each other, and then we say, okay, let's drive 5 feet down. It's the kosher Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, so it's Milchigs. There are worse things than Milchigs. I mean, there could be salad. But, like, it's not. That's the difference. What do we dream for ourselves? Do we dream for ourselves that we're just going to respond to every impulse, or we're going to be something greater? And in that respect, and this is where we started, I wonder if this is where it kind of comes full circle a little bit, the concept of art and emuna are related to each other. Because the artist has a vision in their mind of what it's going to look like. And then they go about doing it. Right? Monet would go out in the summertime to a garden near Paris called Giverny, and how he would see there are tons of Monets of water lilies. I don't know why he was very into water lilies, but water lilies are everywhere in Monet. Monet was a famous impressionist painter, for those who are not bekiyim in Monet. But he has tons of paintings. And it's amazing to me, what's the godless of painting? That you could take an idea in your mind and translate that idea onto a canvas. All of us can imagine water lilies in Monet, but could you paint it? But where does it start? It starts with the idea that the artist has an image. He has an image of what this sculpture is supposed to look like, what this canvas is supposed to be painted like, whether it's impressionist or whatever it's going to be. They have that image, these talented artists, these omanim, and then they hone their craft. It takes tons of practice. These people don't just turn up overnight being outstanding artists. They hone their craft to the point where they're able to take the image in their mind and make it real on a piece of paper. I wonder if that's what Rav Volbe is alluding to in the context of Emuna. That we have an image of our connection with Hashem. We have an image of Hashem and our relationship with Him, and an image of what we're going to look like. That image is related to our Emuna. Our Emuna dictates what that image is going to look like. That's the first step. Now, the hard thing is to actually go out and paint it, right? It's to refine ourselves so that at the end of the day, when we go to sleep, we look back and we say, oh, that image that we started with at the beginning of the day became a reality. And there are people who can do that. There are people who can dream so big. Their palel, their dream for themselves is so big and so unbelievable, and yet they're able to accomplish it. And so I think for a lot of us, maybe we're not on that level, but I think it helps us because it enables us to realize that we also can dream bigger. We also can have more emuna to be mitzayer in our heart, what we can do bigger. I had an amazing schus last night. Amazing. Once-in-a-lifetime schus. I was at the 50th anniversary dinner for the rabbi in Chevy Yudin. Before we moved to Chicago, we lived in Fairlawn. And these are people, one of their sons said on the video, and it's true, that they are actually malachim, who the Rebbe Shalom got a little bit fablunged, and he fell out of Shemayim. They ended up in Fairlawn. So I haven't cried as much at that dinner. It's at least a few funerals worth of crying last night. It was unbelievable. So what do you walk out when you stand next to people who are literally tzaddikim and unbelievably, incredibly accomplished malachim? So you say, you know what? They have such strong emuna that their emuna leads them to live a life that is beyond, like of their 7 children who are there with all of their grandchildren, 2 of their children, they don't look like the other children, let's just say. Why don't they look like the other children? Well, because many years ago, these 2 children who are now in their 40s, some of you know the story, their father had showed up once, needed to say Kaddish something. Rabbi Yudin met him several years later and ended up in the hospital. Both of these young boys, I think they were 11 years old, this was over 30 years ago, their parents died within a very short period of each other. And they were left with no one in the world. So the Yudins invited them into their home and adopted them. And this is in addition to one of the most beautiful things last night. Way at the end, there was dancing outside. Aaron, the blind man who comes for every yontif, was dancing with the rabbi. I can't even tell you, the whole evening, it was mamish, like surreal. And you think to yourself, what they're able to accomplish, it's taka superhuman. Most people can't have a girl from Mexico living in their life for 8 years just because her parents went back to Mexico. Most people cannot do that. And it's probably not a good idea for most people. But the idea that they, and the rabbi said, they each spoke about each other, which was very cute. He said it was Chevy's idea that they should have an open home. It's her idea, it was her credit, it was her dream, it was her vision that their home should be open, which means that every kid who has gotten married in that shul over the last 50 years, Sheva Brachas is in their living room. Shabbos Sheva Brachas, if it's there, is in their living room. It's not Shabbos, it's a weeknight. So their emuna is so strong that their dream for themselves was just unbelievable. So we, when we encounter great people like that, we can strengthen our emuna. We can say, wow, they have a vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They have a vision of themselves. I need to do that. I need to have a tzir b'nefesh. Maybe I'm not going to be on that level that the rabbi, there's nothing, he doesn't take any vacations because there's nothing he would want to do on vacation more than sit and learn. So how do I think about my tzir, my vision, my tzir b'lev, my imagination, my spiritual imagination. So when we encounter great people, we can spark our spiritual imagination. That spiritual imagination, that is what Rav Volbi is saying, is at the root of emuna. The negative side at the end, this is what he's talking about, is the when that's diminished, I don't want to say anything harsher than that, but then you go back to the last line, Keinu b'tzara kedusha. Now it goes on the good side, which is asher chud shel tcheles b'tzitzis. You know, the old days, we're not 100% sure, but it's pretty likely that this color is the tcheles. It's pretty well established. Maybe it's not certain, but it's very likely. So what did the rabbis say? You should put, the pasuk says you put tcheles on your tzitzis. Why? So the Gemara says, well, because when you see the tcheles, it reminds you of the blue, which reminds you of the ocean, which reminds you of the sky, which reminds you of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How long, by the time you finished all of that cheshbon, right? But what Rav Volbi is pointing out is this suggestion that, wait a second, if we're artistic in the sense that we have a spiritual imagination, then our spiritual imagination looks at Tcheles and it says, oh, Tzfat, Kabbalah, the doors on the Arizal Shul. That's what a spiritually imaginative person thinks about. That's the reisim oso. That's the honing our spiritual imagination. So yes, it's very, very lofty, but it's also true on a daily basis. When we daven and when we go through life, we always want to be finding ways to inspire ourselves to grow in our emuna, which means to imagine for ourselves spiritually. So that means thinking about the role models in our lives who are able to accomplish beyond unbelievable things in the spiritual realm, and then thinking for ourselves as we daven and as we take time, how do we cultivate our inner tzir b'lev? This tzir b'lev, this is our spiritual imagination. Have a great week. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.